And Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, May 20th, 2003. Today, we have a special program for you. We're going to be playing, as our gift to you, for the WBAI Premium World War IV. The premium is $100, and Michael, if you could give out the telephone numbers, then we can start.
Then you can start the program in earnest and start your fundraising in earnest, yes?
Yes.
Okay, the number to call is 212-209-2950. This is a special edition, an extended version of Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen, a fundraising special. They'll be with us this afternoon until 6 p.m. They're usually on at 5 o'clock. They'll be with us from 4 o'clock until 6 p.m. this evening. So the number again is 212-209-2950.
Now, this is a particularly important fund drive for WBAI. Many of you may have seen the new face of WBAI with our website at www.wbai.org. Just in a relatively short time, that website had 3.5 million visits. Imagine that. That shows you the potential for the WBAI listening audience. And we now have a drive to have more members. So if you're not a member of WBAI at this point, for $50, you can become a member. If you're a senior citizen or a student on fixed income, it would be $25 to be a member. If you can, by yourself or with others, make a contribution of $100, Ralph and I have prepared a special program that you cannot hear anywhere except when you get it as a gift. For a $100 contribution to WBAI. It's $100, and our gift is World War IV. It's a 3-hour, 2-audio cassette program. And believe me, as you'll hear today, it is packed with information. For those of you who are regular listeners to Taking Aim, you've got an idea of what you can expect. For those of you who are tuning in and usually hear Hugh Hamilton and talk back at this time, this is a program that's going to create a lot of conversation for you. You're going to want to listen to it again, share it with your friends, and often what people do is they bring it and they have a little get together. They play some of our programs and have a discussion, because this is one opportunity to really talk back. Ralph, why don't you tell a little bit about World War IV?
Well, what we set forth here is the series of talks that were given by James Woolsey and Paul Bremer and William Bennett and the other prominent figures of Americans for Victory Over Terrorism, specifically the talk that was given in UCLA, at which Woolsey declaimed that what was in preparation was none other than World War IV, and he defined World War IV as the aftermath to the Cold War, and he anticipated and he predicted that it would last at least as long as the Cold War, some 40 years, and the designated targets include Iraq as well as Syria and Iran and Libya and North Korea. It is a formula for perpetual war under the guise of combating terror, the very terror that is to be inflicted by state design by the people in question.
Now, in attendance, you had at many of these conferences that have gone on prior to this World War IV lecture, conferences that were organized by former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu before he was Prime Minister. He was one of the main proponents of this category of terror. Now, you've heard on Taking Aim, we talk about the category of terror. In World War IV, we go into depth about what this means and what are the implications, what is the impact for the people of the United States, not only the devastation of peoples abroad, such as the peoples of Iraq, and in the cards are Syria, Iran, and other countries of the Middle East, as you can see now with the bombings that took place in Saudi Arabia. That's another subject that we discuss on World War IV. So remember to call 212-209-2950.
Well, what we describe,
and Ralph, let me just mention that MasterCard, Visa, all this is important because, one, it brings the money to WBAI, and WBAI is the only place that you're going to hear programming such as Taking Aim. Ralph?
Well, I was going to mention that in his talk at UCLA, James Woolsey, who was Clinton's Central Intelligence Agency director. Okay, I'm right on the mic. Let me see if we can make some adjustment here. How's that? Is that better?
I'll tell you what. Why don't we go to the tape fairly soon?
Yeah, we're checking with the engineer here because I'm literally eating the mic. And, I think it's probably levels at this end.
I see. Well, I'm sure of that because our levels here are very well indeed.
Right.
A special edition of Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen there in Berkeley, California, trying to work out some technical problems on their end. Go ahead, Ralph, and let's wrap this up as soon as we can, and we'll talk off the air so we can go to the presentation.
Okay. Well, I was going to mention, Michael, that the talk that was given by James Woolsey specified particularly that the U.S. rulers intend to destabilize Saudi Arabia and to replace the regimes in both Saudi Arabia and Egypt with direct U.S. control. And on target, we have the series of bombings that are occurring in Riyadh. And one of the issues that we examine in World War IV is the inside job nature of these. There are not only specific and precise warnings as to these events 2 weeks ago, but the people who engaged in these were insiders with the national security apparatus of the Saudi National Guard, all of whom have U.S. intelligence clearance. And in particular, it's instructive to note that the compound was that of Vinel. And Vinel, which is part of the Carlyle Group and
Northrop Grumman.
Yes, thanks, Maya. Northrop Grumman has been the security apparatus of the Saudi elite itself. Yet the inside job targets it, and notwithstanding the foreknowledge and the prior warnings, it proceeds apace, much as we have documented with respect to the attacks on the embassies in Nairobi and in Dar es Salaam, because we discovered, as was documented in San Francisco in the Chronicle, that the operation that blew up the U.S. embassy in Nairobi was carried forth by a high-level CIA and FBI operative who was actually part of the bodyguard apparatus of Osama bin Laden, no less, and yet had been and continued to be right through the process of that operation, high-level CIA and FBI, precisely laid out in that article in the San Francisco Chronicle. For World War War, the pretext of terror, the category of terror, the state terror in reality, is unfolding.
Michael, are the levels okay now?
They're not as good as they should be for this broadcast, so we can reach the 60 miles in all directions that we would like to reach. But
we'll share a mic then.
How's
that, Michael? Is that better?
That's better, thank you.
Okay, so we'll just share a mic. We're coming to you today from KPFA, the sister station of WBAI, and it's from KPFA that we broadcast normally in a different studio than this, and that's why we have great sound. To put it on Taking Aim, we go by telephone line, the ISDN, Special Facilities, and it's the cooperative nature of the stations in the Pacifica broadcasting network that enable Taking Aim to come to you each Tuesday. And we know how many of you are listening, how many of you tape our shows and appreciate our website. And we'll be telling you more about our website and the WBAI website when we come back. And we'd like to go now to a portion of World War IV. We will get started once you start the phones ringing. Remember, you can dial and telephone at the same... You can dial, telephone, and speak to the wonderful people in the pledge room at WBAI while you're listening to World War IV, because when you make that pledge of $100, you'll have World War IV to listen to over and again. 212-209-2950. And we'll be back with you after a portion of World War IV for more information and for more commentary and also for some information about Ralph and me.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Shunden
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, May 20th, 2003, with our special World War IV. On November 16th, 2002, former CIA Director James Woolsey declared that the United States was engaged in World War IV, World War III having been the Cold War. Speaking at the University of California, Los Angeles, as part of a tour sponsored by Americans for Victory Over Terrorism, of which Woolsey had been a founder, Woolsey stated that the United States would be at war for many years. These words have been echoed by Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld and President George Bush. Woolsey, however, was specific. This fourth world war, he said, will last considerably longer than either World War I or II. This is a war against terror, Woolsey remarked, that will not go away until we change the face of the Middle East. His specific targets included Iran, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, and Libya. Also on the program with James Woolsey was L. Paul Bremer, former chairman of the National Commission on Terrorism, who was appointed recently by President George Bush to be the civilian administrator in Iraq, and William Bennett, who founded Americans for Victory Over Terrorism, had been President George Herbert Walker Bush's director of the National Office of Drug Control Policy. He was also known as the Drug Czar. In World War IV, we examine the role of the category of terror, document significant relationships among those who promulgate it, and explain the significance for workers and the oppressed throughout the world. Ralph?
This series of lectures, which included Columbia University as well as UCLA, was designed to take to the university campus and the students and the public arena the agenda for Fourth World War. And as you mentioned, Maya, Woolsey designates this as a war lasting not just longer than the first two world wars, but even as long or longer than the Cold War, which he calculates to be at least 40 years. So we're talking about generational periods of permanent war. And Woolsey, as you mentioned, was the head of the Central Intelligence Agency under Jimmy Carter and served Republican and Democratic administrations alike throughout his career.
Well, he was head of the Central Intelligence Agency under Bill Clinton.
Oh, of course, you're right. Excuse me, Maya. We'll come back to Jimmy Carter in a moment. And when you say that he was the chairman of Freedom House, we should keep in mind what Freedom House is, because Freedom House, having been founded by none other than Eleanor Roosevelt and supported by the bureaucracy of the AFL-CIO, has been presented as a vehicle for indoctrinating the benighted in the virtues of democracy, but in fact has been an intelligence intelligence apparatus for undermining and overthrowing regimes that are unsympathetic to American imperial control.
Let's look at what Woolsey and Bremer said at this UCLA event, an event that was also broadcast on C-SPAN. Paul Bremer, he laid out the crusade, the new crusade for the people of the United States, this crusade for the American rulers to which we are being subjected. And he stated specifically that there are terrorists. The terrorists have motivations like hatred, revenge, and religious extremism. Their objective, Bremer said, was to kill as many people as possible. Now, with his National Commission on Terrorism, in which he served as the chair, he said that he, and also Woolsey, James Woolsey, reported to the president in June of 2000, 15 months before the September 11th attacks, that, quote, we should expect Pearl Harbor-scale terrorism in the United States. We should expect biological terrorism in the United States. Of course, what they didn't say is that this would be terrorism inflicted upon people in the United States by the American rulers themselves. Instead, what Bremer says, and he sets up a false premise, he says that this terrorism will come from people who hate us for what we are. They hate us for the fundamental elements of Western civilization. This is a theme that is articulated by many people like Bremer and Woolsey, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, and so forth. The people who say that, in fact, we are engaged in this World War IV, a world war that pits Judeo-Christian values against that of the Islamic world. Ralph?
Well, what's significant, Maya, about the virtual bragging by Paul Bremer, and of course everybody understands that Bremer is now running Iraq. Bremer is the point man. Bremer is the figure who replaced Jay Garner. Bremer is the person who announced that anyone attempting to loot in Iraq will now be shot on the spot. Bremer, in his designation and his virtual bragging about the anticipation 15 months before the September 11th events, that, quote, we will expect Pearl Harbor-scale terrorism in the United States, was echoing what Condoleezza Rice had stated in the National Security Council in an interesting syntactical formulation. What we need is a Pearl Harbor-scale event in order to pursue the agenda of taking the preemptive policy of permanent war to the American people.
Ralph, this is also the language that was used by the Project for the New American Century, of which all these people, Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and James Woolsey participated in, the Project for the New American Century, which in its Rebuilding America's Defenses created the policy statement for President Bush in his campaign that has actually become U.S. policy. Now, Bremer goes on to say that Al-Qaeda states specifically that it is the duty of a good Muslim to convert or kill all non-Muslims. This is what Bremer's interpretation is of Al-Qaeda.
Not just Al-Qaeda, he imputes this to the to Islam itself. The root cause of this kind of terrorism is nothing less than the existence and nature of Western civilization. There is no deal to be made with such people. There is no compromise that is possible. What makes it especially troubling is the possibility that the terrorists are going to put their hands on weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear agents, and he sets out the entire scenario of this purblind, fanatical demonization of entire peoples as a rationale for a forward imperial policy of conquest, of dismantling of not just governments but regions and nations, of the breakup of peoples into their ethnic and religious components prior to the anti-colonial revolution. This is an expression of a unipolar imperial requirement to undo even the gains of the anti-colonial revolution, the demolition of the nation state, as it was done in the Balkans, as is being done now in Iraq, and as is intended for the entire Middle East.
And what was done with the breakup of the Soviet Union into component states. Now, Bremer, and this will be echoed by Woolsey, and as we stated before, this is the language of President Bush, Secretary of State Donald Rumsfeld, and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of State Colin Powell, all the people in the Bush administration. And listen to this. He says, "There is no deal to be made with these people. There is no compromise that is possible." And he goes on and elaborates that 5 of the 7 states which the United States identifies as states supporting terrorists, 5 of these 7 have weapons of mass destruction, including Iraq. Now, this threat that he's talking about of the terrorist groups who, as he says, have a motive to kill us in our thousands or millions, they may get their hands on weapons of mass destruction which allow them to do that. So the consequence of this is that war in Iraq is a vital part of the war on terrorism, and the language of preemption is clearly articulated here when he states, "This country cannot wait until terrorists have these weapons in their hands to act. The war in Iraq is a vital part of dealing with the instabilities in the Middle East that comes out of all these trends." And to put the cap on this genie's bottle here, he says the effort to try to put more representative governments in place in countries like Iraq, in other words, remaking the Middle East, and what they say is remaking it in an image of the United States, that of democracy, but what they really mean is to open it up for capitalist hegemony throughout the world, the U.S. capitalist hegemony throughout the world. He says, if it is mishandled, then all of this becomes a threat to American security. Now, this is L. Paul Bremer, the counterterrorism specialist who President Bush has put in place as a civilian administrator in Iraq. So you can see here what is in store for the people of Iraq under the auspices of the Pentagon, with now a counterterrorism expert as the representative of civilian authority in Iraq.
These are architects of the category of terror, along with Netanyahu and Wolfowitz and Pearl. These are the articulators of the vision of Oded Yinon, the author of the Mossad Plan, a strategy for the 1980s, which set out in the 1970s the necessity to fragment each Middle Eastern country in its turn, Iraq being the primary target. Now, we're talking about a category that was set forth in the late 70s, as the article in the New York Times that we've often cited by Bill Keller, called The Sunshine Warrior, set forth. Wolfowitz was introduced at the American War College by the head of the Army, General Shinseki, who with a drum roll declared that already in the 1970s the outline for war on terror, preemptive war, a permanent war, had been set forth by Wolfowitz as the articulator of the Oded Yinon plan, targeting Iraq to be followed by Saudi Arabia, and then, as they called it at the time, double-crossing Mubarak, each of these countries to be broken down in components, and a measure of the fact that so deep is the crisis of capitalism, so compelled is imperialism and U.S. capitalism to rely on permanent war and on an ever-increasing arms budget, that it is no longer able or willing to tolerate even the forms of independence, the neo-colonial solution where you had office without power in third world countries, where the anti-colonial movement was co-opted with regimes that presided over the appurtenances of state while their economic life was controlled by foreign capitalist states. That is no longer even a formulation with which imperialism is prepared to rest comfortably. No, they have to dismantle these states, return them to their prior status so as to be able to directly obtain the resources, so demobilize and fragment and atomize these peoples that there's no capacity to resist the assault on their living standards, on their very survival in their countries of origin.
You might say, Ralph, that they don't want to share any of the profits. They want direct control over the resources and industrial base. They want to drive down, as you say, the living standards so that the difference between what they get for the sale of these resources and the cost of producing them, primarily based upon the cost of labor, that there is a wide difference and their profit margins are higher. Now let's go to James Woolsey, because James Woolsey is really the prime articulator of the long-term war of World War IV. And if you look at some of the shows that appear on Sunday morning, the shows that this administration and prior administrations have used consistently as the weekly dose of what is the latest line that should be presented throughout all the media, be it radio or television or magazines, the pundit of the week. And for many weeks, it has been former CIA Director James Woolsey, a member of the Americans for Victory Over Terrorism, the chairman of the board of Freedom House, as Ralph had mentioned, a member of the JINSA, the Jewish Institute for
National Security,
Affairs, which includes many former admirals, generals, and people from the Air Force.
This is the Likud instrument through which the architects of the category of terror regrouped in Washington, seized control of the pivotal positions of authority in amongst American rulers to impose this policy of preemptive and permanent war. And it's more, it's also more clearly articulated in this very speech at UCLA, in which Woolsey declaims the following. The Ba'athists in Iraq will be defeated quite quickly. The Islamist Shia in Iran will be defeated relatively quickly. And then he says, but even after these successes, Islamist Sunni terror will have to be confronted for a long time. In order to fight this war successfully, we're going to have to make major changes in the way we do things here at home. We will have to make the choice between security and liberty in ways we didn't have to make in the 80s and 90s, when we assumed that security was something we did abroad and liberty was something we had here at home. We're going to have to make these choices, and we can't forget two things. We can't forget what we have to do to be effective. And he goes into a description of the demolition of constitutional rights in pursuit of security, and it's a code language for suppression of the population at home in order to pursue permanent war, permanent conquest, permanent imperial imposition. We have to make these tough decisions about liberty versus security. We're going to have to take a hard look at the way our infrastructure operates. We have to examine again the network that has served us in the past. I'm talking about the internet. I'm talking about oil and gas pipelines. I'm talking about the electricity grid, about food production, about food delivery, everything that was designed for openness and ease of access and ease of maintenance and full utilization. We have to review all of this. We have to impose the criterion of security. This is a virtual proclamation of a proto-fascist state, no holds barred, no disguise. It is a setting out of the eradication of constitutional protections in this country, of the gains of people for over 200 years, for the reduction of our citizenship to that of quasi-slave acquiescers in a condition of military conquest abroad and military rule at home. Let's not be unclear about what these people are stating. And it is spelled out no less clearly by William Bennett. And by the way, when we talk about William Bennett as the drug czar, and who do you think was his co-chairman of that operation? Former liberal Democratic governor of New York, Mario Cuomo. The drug czar's role in the United States was to demonize and criminalize black youth, Hispanic youth, working class youth, over 2 million now imprisoned, while the money laundering of the drug traffic sustained the Iran-Contra and the special forces operations in the Oliver Norths and the BCCI, the very funding apparatus for George Bush, to Harkin Energy in Carlisle that we've gone into before, the links to Osama bin Laden, whose family were involved in channeling these funds into the Bush family. This is a terror apparatus at the command of the state, the capitalist state. It is structural. It is institutional. It is deeply ingrained in the crisis of capitalism, the falling rate of profit, the necessity to cannibalize the infrastructure of the United States and to allocate resources to nothing more than a war machine. It is analogous to the rise of fascism in the 1930s. We cannot mistake its character. We cannot mistake the words. We cannot misunderstand what these articulations are about the scrapping of the institutions of, quote, liberty, unquote, versus security in the United States.
And the way they do this is to set up categories to demonize. For instance, James Woolsey calls states in the Middle East pathological predators. And when you combine them with weapons of mass destruction and terrorist groups, it's not a pretty mix. That's what he says. Now, remember I said how he had gone on the Sunday morning shows, Meet the Press, Fox News, Sunday, and so on. And on NBC's Meet the Press, Woolsey, at the end of April, stated that we can speak very softly because we've got a big stick. And in fact, what he's talking about is the fact that the United States is the primary military force in the United in the world. In fact, half of all military spending throughout the world is spent here in the United States. Almost half $500 billion now, here in the United States.
In the light of these remarks, and in the light of your assessment of them, I want to point out that the wave of bombings that are now unfolding in Saudi Arabia and in Morocco, and the announcement that these are expected to take place once again in Kenya and Tanzania, we're going to examine that later in this program. But it's instructive here to note Woolsey's remark with respect to what can be expected in the Middle East in this very declarative statement before the audience at UCLA. Quote, as we move towards the new Middle East over the subsequent years, and I think decades to come, we are going to make a lot of people very nervous. We will scare the Mubarak regime in Egypt and the Saudi royal family. We are going to make them very nervous, and this is good. We want you nervous. We want you to realize that now, for the fourth time in 100 years, this country is on the march, and that we are on the side of those whom you, the Mubaraks, the Saudi royal family, must fear, unquote. Clear as a bell. The destabilization of Saudi Arabia, the destabilization of Egypt, the destabilization of North Africa, the destabilization, in order to make it essential that the U.S. intelligence counter-terrorist apparatus moves into place, that the regimes themselves are undermined, that the stage is set for the replication in Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and as indeed in Iran and Libya, what has unfolded in Iraq and is unfolding indeed before our eyes at this moment. William Bennett, who was a key figure at this meeting, I asked Jim Woolsey and several other people, Paul Bremer, to get together so we could examine what has to be done in this campaign globally against terror. We have the stuff to take this effort over the long run, over the long haul, 10, 20, 30 years that this World War IV will require. It will take a long time. It will occur in many places. There will be many theaters of operation. It will be a long struggle, a long twilight struggle that we have the stamina to sustain, and it is very essential, it is very important that we do it. Is this not a map, a roadmap to a plan of conquest? No less explicit than Mein Kampf.
Now, when we talk about Woolsey, we have to remember that Woolsey has been a member of every single commission.
Ralph Shunman.
You've been listening to World War IV coming to you over WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial in the tri-state region of New York and over the internet at www.wbai.org. Taking Aim is our program, which can be heard every Tuesday from 5 to 6. Today, during the WBAI Fund Drive, we have a very special for you. Our premium, $100, is a three-hour program, two audio cassettes, World War IV. World War IV is what former CIA Director James Woolsey, it's how he categorizes the permanent war now underway, the move for the United States to have complete hegemony over the world, particularly reshaping the Middle East, as we've seen with the war against Iraq, and now the destabilization of Saudi Arabia, the impending attacks and undermining of Iran and Syria. Now, you can make your contribution by calling 212-209-2950. If you're listening via the Internet, there's a secure place on our website at www.wbai.org where you can make your pledge. $100, a three-hour program, World War IV. And as you know, there is nowhere else that you're going to hear this provocative, dynamic, insightful program. You can also become a member of WBAI for a $50 contribution and $25 if you're a senior on fixed income or a student. Any contribution is accepted. And you can do it by dialing 212-209-2950, a number that should be on the automatic dial on your phone, or via the Internet at www.wbai.org. As a listener-sponsored station, we depend upon your contributions. You depend upon us for insightful and provocative news, up-to-date, the type of public affairs programming you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get it on National Public Radio. You're not going to get it on Meet the Press, as we've mentioned, the pundits of the week for the ruling class of the United States appearing there. You're certainly not going to get it on CNN with its parade of people who support, rationalize, and present you with much of the disinformation that we are going to analyze on World War IV today. So remember, 212-209-2950 will be with you until 6. But don't wait until 5 to 6. Now is the moment. Get those phones ringing. We're here in Berkeley, California, coming to you via the telephone lines. We wish we were in New York with you, but your way of being with us is to get on the phone, get a copy of World War IV, and get it with a group of friends if $100 is too much. If you are a person who has more income than that, WBAI appreciates any amount beyond $100. You can even buy several copies of World War IV, or you can make a generous contribution so that the staff at WBAI, the engineers, the people in the premium department, everyone, the newscasters, the staff that keep the station going day by day, evening by evening, night by night, 24/7, can have their salaries paid. And it's a minimum amount of salaries compared to what people at the major broadcasting earn. And they do it as a commitment to you. And now is the time to give your commitment to WBAI. Ralph?
You know, it was reported yesterday, Maya, and we discussed this in the World War IV broadcast, that no less than $1 trillion has been lost by the Pentagon this year. And what is illuminating about this is that in 2000, they lost $2.2 trillion. And in 2001, they lost another $1 trillion. And altogether, from 1999 and 2001, $4.4 trillion. And what they mean by loss, as the General Accounting Office has stipulated, is disappeared into offshore bank accounts and into the coffers of the contracting parties, the corporate capitalist conglomerates that run the Defense Department and the Pentagon, and indeed are the cabal that controls the state apparatus in this country. This is a kleptocracy. This is a tiny oligarchy of less than 2% of the population. In fact, most recent figures by the United States, by the New York Times, show us that 1% of our population now owns and controls over 90% of the national wealth. They've captured the state. They use it as their milk cow. They subsidize their operations, and they are cannibalizing the infrastructure of our society. Now, it is not the evil that is new, nor the crisis that has changed. In reality, capitalism has always functioned in this way. Indeed, the imperialism that we are describing in our own time was very much alive and well in the second half of the 19th century in the United States. And speaking from my own experience, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that when I was living in London and working with Bertrand Russell in the early 1960s, we were approached at the time by Gamal Abdel Nasser, the then president of what was the United Arab Republic, and he had proposed a Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza with a corridor through the Negev. And indeed, in those years, although we at the Bertrand Russell Peace Foundation were committed to a democratic and secular Palestine, a unitary state in which rights did not flow from ethnicity or religious origin. We were opposed to colonial settlerism, whether in Palestine or anywhere else. Nonetheless, I was able to participate in meetings in Cairo, not only with Nasser, but with Ibrahim Hamil Abdul Rahman, then the Secretary General of the United Arab Republic, and with Saleh Dessouky, who was the Governor General of Cairo Province. And we outlined a plan that we were going to take to Ben-Gurion in Paris. And I went then on this particular mission for meetings with King Faisal in Riyadh, King of Saudi Arabia at the time, and from there to Baghdad, and had a series of meetings with Abdul Karim Qasim, the then President of Iraq. Now, Abdul Karim Qasim was the officer who assumed power in Iraq after the Iraqi Revolution of 1958 that overthrew the British intelligence and CIA stooge regime of Nuri as-Said and the young King Faisal I. And the Iraqi Revolution of 1958 was an enormous event. And it led not only to the legalization of the nationalist parties and the Communist Party, but to the confining of the rapacious oil companies to 0.1% of the area of Iraq. Already, the CIA and British intelligence were preparing to overthrow the government of Abdul Karim Qasim. And I had the opportunity to have detailed and elaborate talks with Abdul Karim Qasim and with Hashim Jawad, his foreign minister, and with Yahya, who was then the Minister of Justice in Iraq. And they were very conscious, very aware of the determination of the American imperialism and British imperialism to remove them from office. What we didn't know, of course, was that one of the instruments of this was a young CIA asset and assassin named Saddam Hussein, who was deployed by the head of the CIA station in Baghdad in attempts to assassinate Abdul Karim Qasem, the third assassination having succeeded. But just to continue with the account of our experience with respect to the plan for a Palestinian form of self-determination, in Beirut, in meetings with then Prime Minister Saab Salem of Lebanon, Saab Salem looked at me and went over these plans, and he said, you know, these people are too busy contemplating the extension of their control over Egypt and of Jordan, indeed of Kuwait. And I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, that when the meetings occurred with Ben-Gurion in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, at one point Ben-Gurion looked at the list of the interlocutors and he saw the name of Saleh Dusuki, the governor of Cairo province. And he looked up and he said, Suki, Suki, who? Now, Suh in Arabic means market. He was referring to the governor of Cairo province as if he were a peddler. And I said to Ben-Gurion, that's the kind of remark that was made about descendants of East European peddlers like yourself and myself, Mr. Prime Minister. Indeed, it was a racist characterization, and it was an expression of the contempt of the Zionist leadership for any suggestion of self-determination for the Palestinian people. And it was not long after that that the assassination of Abdul Karim Qasem unfolded and the imposition of a dreadful regime of repression in Iraq and indeed the expansion of Israeli control and power, which would end up in the occupation of the Sinai and the West Bank. Imperialism has not changed its face. The dynamics of rule are not altered. The duplicity is well in place. The rapaciousness is a constant, and the need for struggle ever remains. Taking aim is about elucidating that reality and of mobilizing the resistance that is essential, no less for generations of the past than for our own.
The number to dial is 212-209-2950. If you're listening via the Internet, as many of Taking Aim listeners do, from Seattle to Los Angeles to Norway to Italy, you can make a secure contribution at www.wbai.org. That's www.wbai.org. by which you're listening right now. There's a point for secure contributions. The WBAI website has become an important link with information about news, events, and also linking to the individual programmers' websites. You can find information about Ralph and myself and our program Taking Aim through the portal of the WBAI website. It's becoming a real asset and really should be your home site on your computer. Taking Aim has a new website address. We've made it a lot easier for you. www.takingaim.info, where the .info pioneers, just like Taking Aim is a pioneering show on the air, packed with information. Now, World War IV, our premium, our gift to you, can only be heard. It will not be on our audio archive. It is a special program that we made with incredible research, a three-hour, two 90-minute audio cassettes, and it's available as a gift with a $100 contribution to WBAI. Your access for news, analysis, and cultural programming. 212-209-2950.
We urge you to support the work because as we talk to you today, as you listen to this program, you are hearing on the TV and reading in your newspapers about the series of attacks which are put down to terrorists and which will be the pretext for further military incursions. And you are hearing the warnings of pending attacks within the frontiers of this country itself. But a signal that our rulers intend to shut down our institutions and to attempt to use our acquiescence as an opportunity to impose repressive, increasingly proto-fascist forms of rule. WBAI, the Pacifica Station, Taking Aim itself,
is the fight back mechanism, speaking truth to power, the informing of our people, the mobilizing of resistance, the alerting of the many to the crimes and the schemes of the few. Support it, please. Call in your support. Keep this programming going and healthy and well.
We're going to return for a short bit of the World War IV premium, a very short segment in which we learn about the conferences, the predecessors to what we are hearing today about the category of terror, organized by Benjamin Netanyahu and his Jonathan Institute, one in 1979 and another in the mid-'80s. In attendance at the second gathering, June 24, 1984, in Washington, D.C., was Secretary of State George Shultz, who had also attended the first one in 1979, Congressman Jack Kemp, Senators Alan Cranston and Daniel Patrick Moynihan, FBI Director William Webster, former U.N. Ambassador Jean Kirkpatrick, Israeli officials such as Moshe Arons, who had been the Minister of Defense, Israel's ambassador to the U.S., just as Netanyahu had been an ambassador, Yitzhak Rabin, who was then the Minister of Defense and had been Israel's prime minister and also ambassador to the United States. Now, we have here a real cast of characters, and most significantly are the people from the media, the people who today, outside of WBAI and the other Pacifica stations, are promulgating that there's a terror apparatus throughout the world. This includes Ted Koppel, Bob of ABC TV, Bob Woodward and Charles Krauthammer of The Washington Post, Daniel Shore of CBS and CNN, and George Will, Arno de Borsgrave of The Washington Times, who had been the chief foreign correspondent for Newsweek. So we're going to return for a few minutes. We'll be back again at 5 with the regular scheduled hour for Taking Aim. Yes?
I'm sorry, Ralph and Maya. This is Matthew. We interrupted the side one of the cassette that people will get at about 24 minutes in. Are you saying that you want us to pick up with side B?
No, just continue.
From right where we are.
Right where we are.
Okay.
And then stop at 5, and we'll meet those people who are just getting off work or in their car, and then we'll talk a bit, and then go back and play some more, and then at 5:30, come back again.
Okay, very good. And folks, as we go back to the produced portion, part of the premium that will be coming your way under the title World War IV. Just a reminder, World War IV is 3 hours of new original material that will exist really only in excerpts as a radio program. You will get it uninterrupted in its entirety. It was recorded this morning, so this information is as recent as we can possibly get it. A pledge of $100 to 212-209-2950. You will get the 3 hours, two 90-minute cassettes. We're putting it on cassettes because we've learned the way people listen to Taking Aim is they stop, they start, they wind up, they take notes. If you had it in a CD, you'd have all kinds of headaches, but in a cassette form, you can really make it user-friendly. It's available to this audience and this audience only for a pledge of $100. The area code is 212-209-2950. We've had a good flurry, but Doctor, maybe we should return to the produced portion, part of the three-hour presentation from Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen called World War IV.
Talk about Woolsey. We have to remember that Woolsey has been a member of every single commission and board for both the Democratic and the Republican administrations that matter in the world of defense and national security, such as the Department of Defense Defense Policy Board that gives advice right now to Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. He was on the Rumsfeld Commission on Missile Defense. I mentioned before that he's connected with the Likud, the Israeli Jinsa, and again, along with the other members on the Defense Policy Board. Let's look, though, at some of the other things that Woolsey is doing, because he's very much involved in New York City, too. Woolsey is in charge of a security consultant at Booz Allen, a major corporation which has $680 million of Pentagon contracts. And in September of 2002, Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Fire Commissioner Nicholas Scopetta announced that former CIA Director James Woolsey would be the chief advisor to the New York Fire Department on terrorism preparedness. And this is the Terrorism Preparedness Task Force.
Maya, not only is he that, but he is the key advisor to Booz Allen Hamilton, Inc., and he will directly benefit and profit from the $680 million of Pentagon contracts that he has been instrumental in arranging. And the question, by the way, from the UCLA audience was the following. Mr. Woolsey, you stand to benefit as the key advisor to Booz Allen. $680 million of Pentagon contracts. You and people like Pearl, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, who are promoting these military strikes, you are promoting something from which you profit directly.
Now, you had mentioned Jimmy Carter, by the way, because James Woolsey was the Undersecretary of the Navy under President Jimmy Carter. So he, from Carter and then with Ronald Reagan, he served in Ronald Reagan and both Ronald Reagan's administration, and then it was President Clinton who had appointed him director of the CIA. Now, along with Woolsey, we've been talking about the company he keeps. And the company he keeps on this terrorism preparedness task force in New York City is none other than Shabtai Shavit, who's the chairman of the Institute for Counterterrorism at the Interdisciplinary Center in Herzliya, Israel. What Mr. Shavit was is the former director of the Mossad. So here we have covert action in Israel teaming up with covert action here in the United States. The two shaking hands very closely and directly in New York City.
Yes, Maya, and that brings us, of course, to the very category of terror, and we will continue to locate this in this series of declarations and speeches by the American for Victory Over Terrorism, the people we've been citing. Paul Bremer, once again, the Paul Bremer who is running Iraq today, in his remarks at UCLA, observed the following. Al-Qaeda's record over the last 10 years is to attack American targets on an average of once a year. I take no comfort that we have had no attacks since 9/11. There are hundreds of Al-Qaeda operatives in this country plotting, and we will have attacks in this country. I don't want to spoil your night's sleep, but we're going to have a series of attacks in the United States. Don't think that we won't. Is it not very clear what we're being told here? Just as in the key document P2OG, in which it was set forth by Rumsfeld and others that a central task of the American Special Forces is to instigate terror operations, to stimulate and instigate terror operations to provide the climate for reprisal, explicitly set forth the smoking gun, if you like, of what these people are about. There's no ambiguity about their intent and about their declarations.
And they've been saying this for a long time. The Wall Street Journal Interactive Edition editorial on August 5th, 1996 had a commentary by Paul Bremer, L. Paul Bremer III. Terrorist friends must pay a price is the title. And he says, first, the United States will not make concessions to terrorists, for to do so would be to take the first step down the endless road of blackmail. We must show that countries that use, sponsor, or protect terrorists will pay a significant price. And we must make the terrorists themselves worry that they are not safe from our reach, no matter where they are. The world looks to America for leadership. and he was very specific about what had to be done in the United States, as Ralph was saying, in pointing to the destruction of civil liberties here. L. Paul Bremer, 1996, made it clear that the Attorney General had to have the means to have expedited legal procedures to expel all U.S. residents suspected of involvement in terrorist activities. And if does this remind you of Patriot 2, where the United States was, where the Attorney General and the Justice Department were trying to push through, without any discussion, plans where even citizenship would be denied to U.S. citizens. And then he wants a beefing up of all intelligence apparatuses, including the computer networks throughout the United States.
EAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the internet at www.wbai.org. Welcome, Taking Aim listeners. I hope you were able to tune in an hour early for this special two-hour fun drive special. And what you're listening to is a segment of World War IV. World War IV is our gift to those of you who make a $100 contribution to the WBAI fund drive. You can do so by calling 212-209-2950 or make a secure contribution at the WBAI website, www.wbai.org. World War IV is a three-hour program packed with information that you're not going to hear anywhere else. We've compiled a special, as we often do for WBAI fundraisers, because we think that those who contribute to WBAI are special people who deserve something that is unique, something that cannot be duplicated. And we want you to share it with your friends, your family, and your colleagues. It's a real discussion piece to provoke discussion and provide analysis and documentation that helps with organizing so that we have a world in which meets our needs and in which we feel good about raising our children. 212-209-2950. We want to hear the phones ring, 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 and then we'll play more segments. Ralph?
Well, what we are doing in this program, brothers and sisters, is we're exposing and documenting the real dynamics in the current wave of so-called terror attacks that we're witnessing in Riyadh and in Casablanca and in preparation in Nairobi and in Dar es Salaam, because there is a reprising of the attacks on the U.S. embassies in Nairobi and in Dar es Salaam of 1998 and the attacks in Mombasa of 2002. And what are the interesting things about this? Is that the 1998 attacks on the embassies were in fact inside jobs. We document, particularly with an extraordinary article from the San Francisco Chronicle, how the key figure in the blowing up of the U.S. embassy, in which 5,000 people were injured and hundreds of people killed in Nairobi in 1998, the key figure was a high-level Central Intelligence Agency operative working not only with the CIA but with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who, it is acknowledged, was organizing the bodyguards of Osama bin Laden in his capacity as a high-ranking functionary of the CIA and the FBI.
Ah, Ralph, now that's just a tidbit. People need to dial 212-209-2950 if you want to hear all the details. Also, DEBKA, DEBKA.com, the Israeli Intelligence Journal, which often has information that's useful and also has disinformation. But in this case, DEBKA is, again, as I like to say, on the money, because they exposed that the supposed Al-Qaeda terrorists in Saudi Arabia were wearing National Guard uniforms, drove vehicles with the unit's insignia to the areas of attack, and used keys to open up the sentry booths in some places. And you will notice now, revealed in the New York Times, the Washington Post, very similar information.
Well, in fact, in the Daily Telegraph and in other British newspapers, and indeed in Haaretz, it is established that the operatives who were engaged in Riyadh were moles, and the operation was targeting Vinel. Now, Vinel is the key central intelligence agency corporation that has been the security instrument for the Saudi ruling class. Woolsey stated they were going to destabilize Saudi Arabia. This, as the Telegraph and Observer in London noted, is an inside job. The moles are at work. We set it forth. The reality is there. What we are faced with is a little continuation of the false category of terror, the instrument of state repression, the weapon of mass distraction to permit this ruling class to carry off its agenda of permanent war, of cannibalizing the infrastructure of our society. We provide the data. We want you to have it. We ask you to contribute to this program to keep the information coming and to equip yourselves with that information which we need to build the resistance and to expose the reality of power in our society.
This is the moment that all you loyal listeners, and we know you're loyal and supportive, we hear from you often, this is the time to contribute, to have an opportunity to have World War IV. Our programs, as you know, are archived on the Internet. Our new Internet address is www.takingaim.info. Yes, .info, because of all the important information we provide you. World War IV will not be on the archives. I repeat, World War IV will not be on the archives. This three-hour program is available as a gift for those of you who contribute the $100 to WBAI. We consider WBAI to be one of the most important assets in our lives. It enables us to reach you. It enables you to reach us. 212-209-2950. Without WBAI, we wouldn't be in a position in New York, in the tri-state area, to do the organizing that we need to do to make a difference. And we are making a difference. The ruling class is running scared. Believe us, throughout the world, these incursions, these wars, are not a sign of their power. It is a sign of their inability to satisfy and meet the needs of the working people throughout the world. The question now, as it has been through generations, is one of organization. Organization requires information and understanding, and WBAI is the vehicle for that information and understanding with programs like Taking Aim. 212-209-2950. We discuss in World War IV the conferences set up by Benjamin Netanyahu, Likud leader and later Prime Minister of Israel and one-time CIA operative. And at one of these conferences, Moshe Arons, a former Israeli foreign minister and defense minister, stated clearly, five Middle Eastern states have adopted terror as a principal method of war: Iraq, Libya, Syria, South Yemen, and Iran. Steps to be taken include that embassies shouldn't be tolerated, and the attacks should be against these states so that their military forces cannot launch operations. Moshe Arons, not just Moshe Arons, but Secretary of State George Shultz, elaborating what is now called the Axis of Evil, then called by Secretary of State George Shultz the League of Terror, and proposing preemptive strikes. We go into all of this and what are the consequences for remaking the Middle East. What are the consequences for people here in the United States? You know, aside from producing Taking Aim, which takes an enormous amount of research and collaboration between Ralph and myself, I handle press and I work with organizing conferences and training people to speak, home care workers, the frail elderly, people with disabilities. so we can organize at the local level to get the services we need, services that are being undermined. And, for instance, when I leave the program today, I'm going to a rally of the teachers and the librarians and the students and the parents in the Berkeley Unified School District, where over 100 teachers have been fired, where the libraries are being closed, where the physical education programs and the art programs are being eliminated because of the incredible cuts that have been taking place at the state level, cuts that are impacted by what is going on with this tremendous war budget and the elimination of social services as the tax cuts give the federal budget, the money that comes from our taxes, over to the wealthy.
$7 trillion of loss of value is a consequence of the crisis of capitalism in just the past 2 years. $7 trillion of lost productive value. And meanwhile, the tax cuts representing trillions of dollars of benefit to the small cabal that runs this country require the virtual cannibalization of the infrastructure of our society. Cutbacks in health care, cutbacks in education, cutbacks in all the social services, cutbacks in employment, an assault, a class war. And it is across the board between the twin parties of capital. It reminds me of the American poet Ezra Pound's remark that the technique of infamy is to invent two lies and get people arguing heatedly over which one of them is true. We can do better than that. We can build an instrument of political change that is outside the control of the one big party of capital. Information is the integument for that mobilization. Taking AIM is dedicated to that project. Please support it.
212-209-2950 or secure contribution at www.wbai.org. $100 gets you our gift of a World War IV, a three-hour audio tape program, and it's on the audio cassette, so you can stop, rewind, go back, listen, as Matthew has said. And also, $50 is a standard WBAI membership, $25 for students and seniors on fixed income, as many seniors are. Any contribution, all your contributions are appreciated. And if you can contribute more, please do so. This is the moment. This is your opportunity. We're going to play more of World War IV, and remember, you're only hearing segments of this. If $100 is more than you can afford, call up a friend, and together, call up more than one friend, and together, get World War IV. It is a program that you will keep in your library, listen to, learn from, for now, for next month, and from many years to come. 212-209-2950.
All right, and folks, you can continue to call. We are going to be going back to the next portion of this very special edition of Taking AIM. You can make those calls, continue to make those calls. I have to put out a call to our listenership. We are very low on volunteers on this particular afternoon. So if you're calling in to make your pledge of support to WBAI, just be patient. The phone may be ringing a little longer than it usually does before it's picked up, but the folks in Tally will get to you. If you're getting off of work right about now and can give us an hour or two answering those phones here, at this time we would love to see you at 120 Wall Street. It's all the way east on the wall on the 10th floor. Have photo ID with you. And, of course, those of you who can come down here in the early morning hours, especially right around the break of 7 a.m., very important time here as far as fundraising, and always a challenge to get folks down. We have Ralph and Maya, about 9 people calling in at this moment. We just want folks to continue making those calls, those pledges. 3 hours of new material. We're only sampling bits and pieces of it this afternoon. World War IV, the latest presentation in the Taking AIM series, available to you on cassette with our thanks for those of you who can make a pledge of $100. And at the hour of 5:15 in the p.m., this is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, WBAI. And, yes, let's go to the next part of that presentation of Taking AIM with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen.
bay bam ba ba jump.
Three, two, one. World War IV, Part 2. There are precedents with this category of terror, and the precedent goes back to conferences organized by the Jonathan Institute. The Jonathan Institute, whose directors were Benjamin Netanyahu, and his father. Netanyahu's brother, Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Netanyahu, had been an influential member of the Israeli Defense Forces. He had led what was called a rescue party at Entebbe and was killed in the process. As a result, the Netanyahu family formed the Jonathan Institute and organized the seminal conferences developing the category of terror, which we see unfolding in U.S. policy today. The first one was held July 2nd through 5th, 1979, and included 50 statesmen, scholars, and journalists from a dozen countries. Foremost among them was George Herbert Walker Bush and George Shultz. They attended the first and second conferences. The second one, held in Washington, D.C., June 24th through 27th, 1984, resulted in a book edited by Benjamin Netanyahu called Terrorism, How the West Can Win. And it's instructive to look at the essays in this book that are the proceedings of the conference. Proceedings that were attended by prominent journalists from the United States, the journalists that we see before us telling us about the terror operations throughout the world and how it is important for the United States to have preemptive attacks, such as Ted Koppel of ABC's Nightline, Bob Woodward and Charles Krafthammer of the Washington Post, Daniel Shore, CBS TV and CNN TV, Norman Podhoretz, the editor of Commentary Magazine, George Will, the essayist and commentator, Arno de Borgsgrave of the Washington Times, and who had been the chief foreign correspondent for Newsweek. Now, at this conference, Netanyahu laid out the premises that we heard just before from former CIA Director James Woolsey and L. Paul Bremer, now the civilian administrator in Iraq. That was communist totalitarianism and Islamic radicalism inspired virtually all of contemporary terrorism. And this terrorism was supported by the Soviet Union, Cuba, North Korea, the Middle Eastern states such as Libya, Iran, Syria, Iraq, and South Yemen. And that the principal terrorist states, remember we're talking about 1984, were Iran, Libya, and Syria, who had the prospect of acquisition of, quote, weapons of mass destruction. And at this conference, then Secretary of State George P. Shultz articulated what later became the Axis of Evil. But George Shultz called it the League of Terror. The full-fledged sponsors and supporters of terrorism, and he included Libya, Syria, Iran, and North Korea. Ralph.
Go ahead, ma'am.
He advocated also preemptive strike. So the language that we hear coming from Vice President Dick Cheney, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, President George Bush, and the likes of the pundits, is the very language that was set forth, the very policies set forth in 1979 and 1984 by these conferences organized by Benjamin Netanyahu, who later became the Prime Minister of Israel. And George Shultz says, quote, "Can we as a country, can the community of free nations stand in a purely defensive posture and absorb the blows dealt by terrorists? I think not. It is time to think long, hard, and seriously about more active means of defense. Defense through appropriate preventive or preemptive actions against terrorist groups before they strike."
We've often mentioned that Netanyahu, at the tender age of 27, was disclosed in Israel to have been a Central Intelligence Agency operative with four different names, nom de plume, and four different Social Security numbers, operating under the name of John J. Sullivan in the United States. Netanyahu was a leader of an elite commando unit of the IDF. He was, in fact, a point man, as you mentioned, Maya, in the organizing of the conferences on terror and for the articulation and delineation of a policy of preventive war and of strikes not only against putative terrorists, but against every single state which in which terrorists, as they were designated, were to be found, which is to say that any opponent of imperial policy, and particularly of Zionist policy, was to be demonized in this way. This is the furniture of the present seizure of control by the Likudniks, who have command over the heights of state policy now in conjunction with the military and intelligence apparatus. You mentioned that former President George Bush and former Secretary of State George Shultz were key participants in the conferences. Here's Mr. Shultz's comment about Netanyahu. His is the central role in effecting a change in American policy on international terrorism, quote unquote, from George Shultz, with respect to the role of the Likudniks and of Netanyahu himself, long prior to his being imposed as the Prime Minister of Israel.
A person who was at this conference, at the time we didn't know much about him, but today he is foremost in articulating policy, and this is Michael Ledeen. Michael Ledeen, a member of the American Enterprise Institute, and Michael Ledeen came very much into the press recently in May 14th, in an article in the San Francisco Chronicle, Military Might, the Man Behind Total War in the Middle East. Michael Ledeen, who had been a former employee of the Pentagon, the State Department, and the National Security Council, he worked at the NSC with Robert McFarlane, and was involved in the Iran-Contra scandal. In fact, he went on and was so proud of it that he wrote a book called Perilous Statecraft, An Insider's Account of the Iran-Contra Affair. Now, last year he wrote a book, The War Against the Terror Masters, Why It Happened, Where We Are, How We'll Win. And particularly at the American Enterprise Institute at a recent conference, he discussed total war, and Syria and Iran must get their turn. Specifically, he said, there is no more time for diplomatic, quote, solutions. The United States will have to deal with the terror masters here and now. This is the correct path that President George W. Bush has charted. It's the path that most fully expresses the American revolutionary tradition, and that we are empowering countries when we attack them, invade them, etc., in order so that they can govern their own lands.
Now let's look at who this man is, Michael Ledeen, the man behind total war in the Middle East, as William Brennan described him in the May 14th issue of the San Francisco Chronicle. He states, Ledeen's ideas are repeated daily by Vice President Dick Cheney, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, and Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz. His views define the stark departure from American foreign policy philosophy that existed before the events of September 11th. His basic belief is that violence is essential to America's manifest destiny. He has become the philosophical legitimizer of the occupation of Iraq. He is calling for regime change beyond Iraq. In his address entitled, It is the time to focus on Iran, the mother of modern terrorism, he set forth a plan in the policy forum of the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs on April 30th. Quote, the time for diplomacy is over. We are now on the move for a free Iran, a free Syria, a free Lebanon. He set up the Center for Democracy in Iran, which is an action group for producing regime change in Iran. Quotes from Ledeen's works reveal a particular set of beliefs about American attitudes towards violence. Change is above all violent change, and it is the essence of human history, he proclaims in his book, Machiavelli on Modern Leadership. Creative destruction is our middle name. We do it automatically. It is time once again to export our policy. He is, as the article describes him, the driving philosophical force behind this neoconservative movement. His 1996 Freedom Betrayed, How the United States Led a Global Revolution, Won the Cold War, and Walked Away, reveals an obsession. The United States must now sprout control in every corner of the world. Quote, Iraq, Iran, and Syria are but the first and foremost nations where this will happen, states Ledeen. The process by which this will be achieved is a violent one. It is called total war. Quote, total war not only destroys the enemy's military force, it brings the enemy society to an extreme point of decision, where they are willing to accept a reversal of their entire cultural trends. The sparing of civilian life will not be a priority. The purpose of total war is to force permanently our will on another people. Is this not a fascist ideologue, I state? Continue to listen to this quotation in this article in the Chronicle. No one I know wants to wage this war on Iran and Syria, but we have a clear recognition that this is what we must do, Ledeen wrote on May 6th in the Toronto Globe and Mail. He appears regularly on Fox Television Network, and he has been singled out for media attention by the Bush administration. His views are considered to be the central organizing principle of American policy. This is the setting forth of the man behind total war in the Middle East in the San Francisco Chronicle.
It's interesting about Ledeen because he also had been a contributing editor to National Review, William Buckley's National Review. And during the 1983 invasion of Grenada, now we're going back a little bit, he was an analyst, a counterterrorism analyst for the U.S. forces, probably promulgating the lie about the students who were threatened. And I think there's evidence for that. And in 1984... evidence of that he's the one behind the lie.
Yes, Maya, this has been actually well documented that Ledeen, along with Oliver North, was one of the key figures in inventing the supposed menace on the part of the Grenadian government to the medical students in the of the United States who were in Grenada. An absolute total fiction.
And in 19...
And their building of a runway to accept tourist planes was cited as plans of Cuba to launch jet attacks on neighboring countries in the Caribbean. This is the disinformation campaign, much like Ledeen and Woolsey and Bremer's false claims about biological and anthrax and germ attacks on the United States by Saddam Hussein. Utter, absolute, total fabrications. In fact, a screen for the very attacks that U.S. intelligence apparatus has been testing for over 40 years in American cities, as was disclosed and as we have documented in Clouds of Secrecy.
And, Ralph, it's a good thing you mentioned that, because in 1984, Ledeen produced a pamphlet for the Department of Defense that was entitled Grenada Documents. Now, I mentioned before his role in Iran-Contra. It's also Ledeen who's the one who helped place the Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard in the United States Department of the Navy. Ledeen being very close in relationship with the CIA and the Mossad through his work with the transfer of arms to Iran and the use of the money then to arm the Contras. Now,
This goes, by the way, to the issue, Maya, of the Converse and Amdocs electronic hardware, which monitors all telephone communications in the United States, which is run out of Israel and is run by the Mossad.
Before we move on from Ladin, I want to say that I had talked about his April 6th statement for the American Enterprise Institute, but it was on May 6th that Jinsa, the notorious Jinsa, had a forum on Iran, and that's where Ladin made his comment, "Time to focus on Iran, the mother of modern terrorism," that drew so much attention recently. And it's not only Iran. He stated specifically, "The time for diplomacy is at an end." Now, we've heard this over and again during this show, as each of these people like Schultz and Woolsey and Bremer have articulated this policy of the time for diplomacy is an end. It is time for a free Iran, free Syria, and free Lebanon. But who is it they support in Iran? Is it self-determination of the people for a secular society, for a democratic society, where there are labor unions that are allowed to function, where there are organizations where people can promulgate their ideas? No. The people that these neoconservatives are supporting, and that the Israeli ruling class, the infrastructure of the government is supporting, are the Iranian monarchists, in particular the son of the Shah, Reza Pahlavi, who's the exiled son of the former Shah of Iran. Now, the president of the Iranian Jewish Public Affairs Committee in Los Angeles has stated that there is a pact emerging between the hawks in the administration, the Jewish groups, and principally they mean the State of Israel, and the Iranian supporters of Pahlavi. And they see him in somewhat the way as the CIA saw Ahmed Shalabi for Iraq. And Jinsa, in particular, has been giving him a platform, as well as William Crystal in the Weekly Standard, pushing Pahlavi. And the United States is Congress is allocating, is trying to allocate a $50 million fund that was put forward as an amendment to a bill by Republican Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, which would fund television and radio stations in Los Angeles, as well as the so-called pro-democracy groups, pro-democracy meaning the monarchy. And this is also been sponsored by Representative, California Representative Tom Lantos.
Well, this article in the Jewish Forward by Mark Perlman is particularly significant. Of course, the son of the Shah is the current candidate. After all, what was his father? The Shah of Iran, who was actually the son of a syphilitic corporal that was used by the British to impose British rule in Iran through the massacring of all non-Farsi peoples across Iran. But the Shah himself was imposed through a Central Intelligence Agency coup. E. Howard Hunt, a key figure in that, as he would be in such events as the Bay of Pigs and ultimately the Kennedy assassination. But the Shah of Iran was imposed in a coup in 1953, when the nationalist government of Mossadegh, which had nationalized oil in Iran, was overthrown by a CIA coup, even as the nationalist government of Abdulkarim Qasim was overthrown after the revolution of Iraq in 1958 through a CIA putsch in 1963. And here we have, Maya, you mentioned the role of William Crystal. There is a review of his book, The War Over Iraq, Saddam's Tyranny, America's Mission, by Lawrence F. Kaplan and William Crystal, by David Gordon, in which it points out that the war in Iraq is the first of many that the United States will undertake. Their slogan is perpetual war for perpetual peace, and it is not a mocking comment, but a slogan that they embrace with fervor, David Gordon writes. They are the dominant influence over American foreign policy. Kaplan and Crystal are key figures in the neocon cabal, and he specifies Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, and it's interesting because both Lawrence Kaplan and William Crystal make reference to the central role of a figure on whom they have relied, namely Max Campbellman. Max Campbellman, who was the member of the board of directors of the United States Institute for Peace. But I want to mention in particular that in 1984, I wrote an article called Mondale, Ferraro, and Their Fine Feathered Friends. And that had to do with the role of the liberal Democrat, Walter Mondale, in relation to the national security apparatus of the United States. The two key figures on foreign policy for Walter Mondale were James Schlesinger and Max Campbellman, who accompanied Mondale for his briefings by the director of the National Security Council. Schlesinger, who was the consultant to Shearson Lehman American Express, would have had views identical to those of Ronald Reagan, whose campaign he actually directed in 1976. Now he is a key figure for Mondale. But who was Max Campbellman? His story is extremely interesting. His relationship to Mondale antedated that of Schlesinger. He counseled Mondale when Mondale was a protege of Hubert Humphrey, while Campbellman served on the council for Hubert Humphrey from 1949 to 1955. Campbellman was Lyndon Johnson's advisor to the U.S. mission to the United Nations during the height of the air bombardment of Indochina and an architect of the saturation bombing of Vietnam. He served in the right-wing Atlantic Council of the U.S. from 55 to 70. He was founder of the Neoconservative Committee on the Present Danger, the Coalition for a Democratic Majority, of which Campbellman was vice chairman. He reestablished the Committee on the Present Danger to address the communist menace, and he comprised with his co-members a who's who, quote, of the neoconservatives who campaigned for Ronald Reagan and were instrumental in the American Enterprise Institute and what are now called the neocons: Bud Horowitz, Midge Dekner, Gene Kirkpatrick, Richard Pipes. The very apparatus since the early 40s, Mondale, Humphrey, Lyndon Johnson, the Democratic Party, the neoconservatives, Ronald Reagan, the clandestine apparatus of control of the military-industrial complex in this country.
And Maya Schoen, coming to you on WBAI 99.5. FM in New York, listener-sponsored radio, and over the Internet at www.wbai.org. As you're probably aware, this is the WBAI Fund Drive, and we have an amazing goal. We want to top our goal for Taking Aim, and so we prepared a special three-hour program, World War IV. Yes, World War IV. This is what James Woolsey, the former CIA director and now a counterterrorism advisor for the Terrorism Preparedness Task Force in New York City, appointed by Mayor Bloomberg, along with the former director of the Mossad in Israel. These are the people who are setting up the stage. Yes, Ralph? Who are preparing in New York what we consider attacks upon the people of New York, not attacks by outside forces, but the controlling attacks by the police and the apparatus in New York. That's why Bloomberg puts into place former CIA director James Woolsey and the former Mossad director Shavit. So we have World War IV. We're here in the KPFA studios in Berkeley, and for $100, you can have World War IV, this special three-hour audio cassette. Put on audio cassette so you can stop, rewind, listen to it again and again. Program. You won't hear it anywhere else. It's not on our Internet Archive, our audio archive. that's been prepared for you by one of our listeners. We have listeners who contribute to the production of Taking Aim, particularly Mark Bilk, who archives the shows for you, our gift to you each week. And World War IV will not be on the archive. We want to thank Pamela Summers, who's prepared our beautiful website at www.takingaim.info, and Bradley Wiedmeyer, our associate, who helps us with all the research that goes into the production of Taking Aim. Matthew Finch, who's now the arts director and had been the public affairs director, who helps us every week with the engineering for Taking Aim. And Wesley Burton, the engineer here at KPFA, who also assists us. Without these people, Taking Aim wouldn't be on the air. But there are other people who also assist. People in the premiums department, people in the news department, people in the operations staff. Now is the moment to put in your contribution to WBAI to keep this important resource, your station, on the air. That's 212-209-2950. $100, and it's the gift of World War IV. $50 is a regular membership, and $25 for seniors on fixed income and students. Ralph?
I want to particularly thank the many, 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 many listeners who continually send us information by email, who alert us to things we were not aware of before, who point us to sources of data about the machinations of the ruling class and the preparations for not just permanent war, but permanent repression at home. This is a resource that we share together. These are the programs that we deploy to inform our public, and we indeed are interested in mobilizing that fight back and providing the information that will facilitate it. That's why we appeal for your support. That's why we consider both Taking Aim and WBI to be indispensable instruments for the fight back and the resistance to the dominant paradigm of war, repression, class war and exploitation, the suffering of the great majority of the people of our planet through the depredations and exploitations of a rapacious capitalist system.
Now, WBAI, with Don Rojas at the helm as general manager, has made an important contribution in terms of daily news, not only in the news department over the radio, but that is in the construct of the WBAI website at www.wbai.org. It's a real portal to lots of organizing efforts and also a calendar of what's going on, things you can participate in, and also the programs that are going to be on the air, and also access to our websites, the individual websites of the programmers at WBAI. So $100 for World War IV. It's a program that we prepared specially, and we know you're only going to hear parts of it, very small parts of this program. So get on the phone. When we play further segments, you too can call while you're listening. Unfortunately, we can't hear the phones ringing. We want them ringing off the hook. If you can come down to the station and help in the premium room, that would assist all the programmers, because if we don't have people at the phone lines, then you're going to have to wait a little bit longer to get through with your contribution. Ralph?
This is the programming that we hope will encourage you to support both Taking Aim and WBAI.
Indispensable. We go together. Now, Gene Kirkpatrick, at one of the Netanyahu conferences, the one that took place in 1984, made a startling comment. I only say it startles me because here we had Michael Ledeen saying the same thing. And by the way, Michael Ledeen was at this 1984 conference. There's a real web, an interlocking web among these people. What Ambassador to the UN, Gene Kirkpatrick, had said: terrorist war is part of a total war. It is absolute war because its goal is the absolute destruction of a society. Terrorists are the shock troops in a war to the death against the values and institutions of a society and of the people who embody it. The underpinnings? Rejection of the basic moral principles of Judeo-Christian civilization.
Here you have a far-right, demonization of any who oppose capitalist rule. And it's interesting to observe that the category of terror was a conscious, well-thought-out construct to replace the communist menace, to replace the former Soviet Union as the rationale for addiction to arms and for the arms budget and for the ever-increasing military cannibalization of the resources of the society. The category of terror derives from the strategy for Israel in the 1980s document of Oded Yinon, which set forth the necessity to break up into its components all of the states of the Middle East, to eliminate the gains of the anti-colonial revolution, to remove from power the nationalist bourgeois regimes, to deprive the third world populations, the subjects of intensive exploitation, of even the forms of independence. This was the agenda. This was the expression of a capitalism that had to drive down wages, that had to intensify exploitation in order to sustain a declining rate of profit. This is a system in terminal crisis. Its brutality and its repression, an expression of its desperation. It is a small cabal, no longer able to pretend to meet the elementary needs of human beings. Our programming, our struggle to provide information, our analysis, our unrelenting exposés of the real character and dynamics of the false category of terror, the use of state power to intimidate the American people, the use of state power to assault the American people, because these putative terrorist attacks, as we document in instance over instance, as we see unfolding in Riyadh and in Casablanca, as we shall see unfolding in West Africa yet to come, and indeed I have to take at their word the Rumsfelds and the Wolfowitzes and Bladines and the Woolseys, they plan yet more attacks like 9/11 in the United States under the false flag coloration that is the hallmark of imperial imposition and design. Support the information, the expose, the analysis, and the accoutrement of the fight back.
212-209-2950. $100 is our gift to you for with World War IV. $50 is a regular membership, $25 for seniors on fixed income and students. We're going to return to another segment of World War IV. Remember, there is so much more that you can hear, and you will only hear with a premium. $100, our gift to you, World War IV. If it's too much money for you at this moment in time, if you're laid off, as many people are, if you're a freelancer and you just haven't enough of the work at the moment, or if you're low income, $100, call your friends immediately, and together, make that contribution together. It's a gift you will all share and enjoy.
To prisoners, to the many prisoners who listen to Taking Aim, you write to us, you'll get the premium.
World War IV. And now for a final segment, 212-209-2950.
And we're going to be going to that final 5 minutes or so in just 1 minute. Doctor, want to remind you folks, as you continue to call, if you do have a credit card, you can put it on MasterCard, Visa, American Express, a $100 pledge, the three-hour exclusive presentation from Taking Aim, called World War IV, is yours. You can continue to call as we go back now to the next section of part two of the three-hour presentation.
These people need terrorist attacks in order to sort of browbeat the American people into what we say numbed acquiescence. And there hasn't been for a long time any of these attacks. So the people of the United States, as we approach election time here, are wondering what is going on. What about, you know, the inroads in against our civil liberties? What about the massive debt and the elimination of piece by piece, the breaking down of the social net here in the United States. So on midnight, Monday, May 12th, in Saudi Arabia, behind three gated and guarded estate housing that housed many Westerners in Riyadh, and an American-Saudi partnership office, and we're going to discuss later who these people were who lived there. Hours before, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell was to fly into the capital of Saudi Arabia for a visit. There were in Granada, Cordoba, and Ishbilia, behind sheltered concrete walls with electronic detectors and automatic sensors, and two or three gates guarded by armed men, and a cement road barrier open only to vehicles whose drivers presented keys with correct coded electronic signals. There were drivers of cars who had to step out and approach guards who searched them and their vehicles. What took place were teams who struck at different points in these estates with ferocious fire and explosive power, killing the guards, smashing the gates, and exploding with their cars and supposedly with belts that they wore, detonated bomb belts, such that, with such force, that the entire face of the buildings were, came off, blew off, and few would have ever survived the fierce heat and the vacuum generated in their apartments by the second wave of gasoline blasts that would have sucked the people out of these buildings.
Maya, the destabilization of Saudi Arabia is underway. On March 27th, we've cited this article, but it's important to cite it again. Joshua Micah Marshall in the Washington Monthly, under the headline "Practice to Deceive," wrote the following: "Chaos in the Middle East is not the Bush Hawks' nightmare scenario; it is their plan." And indeed, he sets forth how it is the plan to destabilize each Middle Eastern country in its turn, and he specifies and details the plans to destabilize Syria, the plans to destabilize Saudi Arabia, and he says each crisis, quote, "will draw U.S. forces further into the region. Each countermove will create problems that can only be fixed by further American involvement. And failing that, U.S. troops who will rule the entire Middle East," quote unquote. And that is the context, as he so clearly sets forth. Chaos on the Middle East is not the Bush Hawks' nightmare scenario. It's their plan. Saudi blasts were commando operations. Commando operations, says news.com. The huge suicide bomb attacks on the three expatriate housing panels were executed like true commando operations. And they were done from the inside. From the inside. The security apparatus that was linked to American intelligence is involved in these operations. And here we have an article from the Yahoo.com citing the Agence France-Presse. U.S. had advanced knowledge of the Saudi attack. The attacks, which are being blamed on Osama bin Laden, followed specific U.S. notice earlier this month that, quote, terrorists were in the final phase of specific attacks in Saudi Arabia.
Now, Ralph, the intelligence magazine, DEPKA, the online intelligence magazine, www.debka.com, which promulgates the line of the Israeli rulers, it first came out.
All right, we are to our final few moments. Sorry that we have to interrupt that. We'll bring Ralph and Maya to you on the phone in just a moment in our final 6 minutes here of Taking Aim to try to push this tally a little bit higher, but also to give you a final opportunity to make your pledge to listener-sponsored radio to WBAI. Again, a $100 pledge to the radio station, to non-commercial radio in New York City, and you will get the three-hour uninterrupted presentation from Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen, entitled World War IV. You've been hearing some very, very brief excerpts since 4 p.m. of this three-hour production. We have four people on the line. We'd love to have some more of you call in right now before we go to news, because we intend to go to news at 6. We can bring up Ralph and Maya in a second. I just want to give some quick thank yous to some of the people who've called in. Too many to go into now, but thanks to James in Brooklyn, to Freddie in Valley Cottage. We want to thank Richard in Edgewater and Jay. Bronx, represented by John. Thank you, John. Thank you to David, the MD in Manhattan. Thank you to Granville in Jamaica, New York, to Joseph in NYC, to Abdul in New Haven, Connecticut. Coming in from all over, please continue to make those calls, 212-209-2950. We've got seven people on the line. We can take about eight more of you in these final few moments, and you can make your pledge. Again, you can pledge for whatever amount you wish. You can be a member for $50 for a year. You will receive a folio. That folio is coming back. We expect it will be coming your way before July, towards the end of June. It should be coming your way in the mail and existing for about a year as a quarterly until it may be able to go bi-monthly after that. But it's certainly the launch of a quarterly folio will be coming this summer. You will be recipients of that for a $50 pledge. If you can make the pledge of $100, you will receive the three-hour tapes, Taking Aim. Ralph and Maya.
Yes, I also want to mention you can make monthly contributions. Sometimes that's an easier way for people to contribute. Think about that. Every month, send, make yourself a commitment, $10 a month, $5 a month, $15 a month. Send it in to WBAI, and that helps with the ongoing cash flow. But particularly at the times of the fund drive, this is the moment when you stop, you think about all that WBAI means to you and how important it is, how you couldn't do without it. And particularly at this time, during Taking Aim, we want you to say thank you. Thank you, Ralph and Maya. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Michael G. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Bernard. Thank you, all the staff of WBAI, for bringing Taking Aim to us. 212-209-2950.
I should mention, I want to make our listeners aware, we've talked a little bit about our own experience at our next Taking Aim. I'll describe my own experience of 7 months in the Iranian Revolution. But I want to remind our listeners that Don Rojas was the press secretary of Maurice Bishop, the leader of the Jewel Movement in Grenada, leader of the Grenadian Revolution, overthrown by Oliver North in this U.S. Invasion, example of the sort of manipulative counter-revolutionary imperial imposition that the world is being treated to on a grand scale. Don is a person who witnessed what happened there. Many of us are involved in these struggles over the years. BAI is the vehicle for bringing these experiences, the data, the truth, the analysis to our audience. Support that effort. Support your own ability to join all of us in the struggle for a better world.
In World War IV, we give a systematic analysis of the disinformation that we heard about Iraq. And consequently, we're also hearing this about Syria, Iran, Libya, Korea, Cuba, China. This is a permanent war throughout the world.
From Baghdad to Beijing, brothers and sisters.
And the consequences for people in the United States are felt deeply. You can see it in New York with the destruction of public services. You can see it in California where, for instance, in Venetia, a middle-class community next door to us, they're going to charge students for participation in football teams or any other sports teams. Anything that isn't nailed down is going to cost the students. This is where the U.S. is headed while the money is siphoned off for this permanent war of exploitation, a permanent war to prevent the self-determination of people throughout the world.
All right, and thank you very much. You've been listening to a special expanded edition of Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. Normally, for you new listeners to the program, this program airs at 5 p.m. until 6 on WBAI every Tuesday afternoon. Coming up